talking about podcasting, and mm-hmm. you have a podcast 2 years now?
2 years now, yeah.
Okay, nice. We brought up Gary V. So for the listeners, he is a podcaster. He's a social media guru, marketer, you name it, an entrepreneur overall. Mm-hmm. But he has a different side to him than most entrepreneurs. He also talks about, like you said, empathy, kindness, and humility, which is wonderful.
Yes.
He does bring up the hustle. And, you know, you and I were chatting here. The hustle sometimes is overrated.
I think there has to be a dance. And I like to, like, so the masculine yeah. feminine energy. Because there is a time to be in the hustle and grind. And I think it's funny because I, like, you know, I lived in Vancouver for some time and there's a lot of these spiritual communities who are kind of like, my spirit animal will pay the bills essentially. And that's not how it works, you know? Yeah. And, you know, there is something I've been tapping into lately, Zach, that's looking at, okay, we all know the very masculine, I don't mean man masculine, I mean like masculine as in goal-oriented structure, you know, action. But then there's also something new that I've been tapping into is, well, how can I, as a female entrepreneur, amplify my message by embodying my message even more? And sometimes even one little action, you know, can spread that information on a whole other level because there's some kind of energy that we pick up on it. What do you think about that actually? Is like energy when someone says something and they could be saying something really great, but then it doesn't land versus someone says very few words maybe. And you're like, whoa, there's something I feel about that.
It resonates.
Yeah. You know, and then with hustle, I'm thinking, well, can hustle also include me going to dance classes? Does that make me a better entrepreneur? Me, you know, going to the sauna, that's not business related, but does that make me more embodied, more magnetic as an entrepreneur? And when I do say something, it's like, oh, I feel that. I feel what she's saying. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on like hustle and that?
You know, I've been on both ends of that spectrum. One is burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Having there? A few times, yeah. And it's hard, you know, that. All you want is your health back. All you want is your mind to be strong again. You know, sometimes you learn the lesson, sometimes you don't. I do have a hard time shutting off. I have a hard time pausing. Kind of like what you said, if you go do something, is it a waste of time? Are you taking away from the energy that you could use towards your business and to your life? But I think well-being is important. Wellness is important, you know. Cliche, we've heard it many times before, but it's so true, isn't it? Who we are is comes from the inside.
Yes.
You know, if you don't feel good inside, that energy is, I don't know, we're not gonna be able to communicate well. I'll be angry, I'll be bitter.
100%. Or you'll be too tired to hang out with your kids, or mm-hmm. you know, let's say you're, you know, delivering a presentation and you're bloated or you have a headache. It's like, it's really hard to reach our potential or even do our work when we're feeling not great. Nope. And we've normalized like, oh, everyone's bloated. Everyone has hair loss. Like everyone sucks at sleeping. Like, yeah. No, wait, when did we start to normalize health like that?
Why is that happening? Is it just a comfort thing now for everyone just to feel?
I think there's a comfort. There is also, I want to say, it's profitable to have people unaware of their bodies. And it's like, oh, instead of, say, something as simple as heartburn, it's profitable to have someone thinking that they need Pepto-Bismol or antacids versus, oh, you actually need to work on stomach acid. Like if we have, you know, some practices there, if you have, you know, for a few months have a digestive enzyme or increase apple cider vinegar, that's not a long-term customer. I have had clients who have struggled with infertility and they're on a popular fertility medication and they work with me. This actually happened with my boyfriend's hairdresser. She was on popular medication and she worked with me 9 months later, had a baby 3 days before my own birthday. And it's like, it's, what you're going to spend either thousands of dollars in this other kind of treatment or a few hundred dollars and have a it's, so a part of it, I think, is yes, there's profitability there when it is when people are unaware. There's also convenience, right, and comfort, like you said. It is especially the route that I take is it's lifestyle based, and wouldn't we rather just take a supplement or a pill to get rid of bloating?
Yeah, one extra less person to talk to, just move on with the day and keep going. Do you think it's not the cost, it's the initial step of, oh my God, now I have to talk to someone about something, A, that's super personal, uncomfortable to share.
And I totally get it, you know, it is uncomfortable, and that's why having someone who has been there, done that, and who's not going to shame you into something, or just like, oh, just you know, exercise more and lose, or to eat less or whatever, or yeah, there's that discomfort. You know, I fully understand it can be, you're like bearing your soul in a way to someone else. And yeah, that's a really good point, Zach.
How long have you been a nutritionist for?
I've been a nutritionist for 3 years. I've started my practice for, it's been 3 years now.
Nice. Is it the same thing as a holistic nutritionist?
Good question. So across Alberta, a holistic nutritionist is what I would be able to call myself. In Alberta, dietitians own holistic nutrition, or they own nutritionist. And so what the difference between a dietitian and what I do is I'm not regulated by the food guide, which I'm just going to say right now that it's Canada Food Guide is a lot better than it ever was. But a lot of it is also lobbyists, and a lot of it is not for optimal health, I would say, because I've used to do that whole route. Sometimes I can be a little controversial. I really aim to do so with a lot of love. But and so I don't have to follow a specific guide there. It's actually no diet plans. It's like, what does this individual need specifically? How can we use food first, then supplements for ultimate health and also lifestyle? And there's also the emotional aspect of it, because I truly believe that if we don't identify the emotions, the common thought patterns that hold us back and bring us down, then we can go to change the external world. But unless the internal changes as well, then we're only going to get results for a short amount of time.
Let's take an example. Someone's feeling, you brought up bloated. So they're feeling bloated. How do they find you?
Yeah. So thankfully, a lot of my work has been done through referrals. That's been the primary bulk of my business. And then it's crazy. I just, on Instagram, people will just watch my stuff, read my content for months and say, okay, finally, I want to work with you. Nice. So
it's
those
a read, retain, repeat, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I love being virtual, so I want to keep it that way. But I also think, I wonder if people would be, you know, it would also be impactful if I was one-on-one in person and might actually have that practice physically as well. So I've been looking into that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's cool, but then the costs go up and
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So my number one goal is impact. Is like, okay, how can I impact the most amount of people? Maybe that's virtual. Maybe that's in person.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yes. There's certain instances. I'm actually doing a workshop at the Light Cellar, and Malcolm asked me if I want to do in person or Zoom. I'm like, I want to meet in person, something like that. I'm like,
oh, that's different though, of course.
You know, yeah. But there's so many meetings I also want to do in online, because it's like, hey, cool, next, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you finding over the last 3 years people's health has shifted from a more proactive landscape? Are they interested to get better, or has it been pretty stagnant or reduced?
Good question. Okay, my business exploded in, was it June? I remember specifically June of 2021. Was it 2021, 2022? Or sorry, 2020. I was blown away. All of a sudden, I think people realized, oh my gosh, I don't feel strong and resilient in my body in the first place. I need to do something about this. And especially when, you know, 2020 hit, I think it woke a lot of people up, actually. Obviously, the right people at that time. And I think there's always just that we have different moments that wake us up to like, wow, I need to do something about this. But yeah, I really do believe. And actually, there's been so many corporations who have, I've done corporate wellness workshops for companies who have never done wellness workshops before. Big companies that you'd be surprised, first time.
As a startup entrepreneur in this industry, how did that happen? I think that's remarkable. And congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Industry.
Okay, so this is one of those stories where opportunity, you know, like, luck is when opportunity meets preparedness. Mm-hmm. That it was honestly pure luck. I remember it was February 2022, sitting in Miami, in just waiting for it to check into my hotel. This is a cool hotel. I swear, it's like something about, I don't know, the energy I was into. And this company in Toronto messaged me asking for a Calgary-based corporate wellness educator for a big commercial real estate company here in Calgary. And I was like, this is a scam. Like, this is something I've always wanted to do, like to work with Fortune 500 companies. And then I looked, you know, I was just like, ah, and I'm like, okay, let me schedule a call with her. Yeah. See if this is legit. And it was. And I went to downtown and I remember like going up the elevator and be like, please let this be real. Like, I'm like, anyway, so I know I delivered the workshop. I got paid on time. And then 2020 hit, like the COVID hit. And all of a sudden, nothing's happening in person, obviously. So I messaged this company and said, I've been working at home for the past 8 years. Let me do online workshops for your clients. Corporate clients mm-hmm. on working from home, like healthy habits, working from home, how to work from home effectively. And it's so funny because this is just the backstory. So working from home like 8 years ago, 10 years ago was not really as common. And I remember my family would be like, oh, Celine, when are you getting a real job? Because I was working in marketing, personal development company. And then I was like, sweet, I know. Because I remember when I first started working from home, I would have second breakfast and just do the laundry. And like, it was so hard to focus. Anyway, so I started to deliver these workshops to all these companies. And then finally, I started, there were some things around I wasn't able to promote myself or like having my branding. So I said, mm-hmm. you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. And so I went off on my own and worked with companies like Travel Alberta and Gordon Food Services wow. and Hershey's. So, yeah, and just more of that on the way.
Yeah. I think when your recent posts, you talked about constipation, you talked about various topics. How do they come up for you? Is it clients asking you, hey, how do I deal with certain things? Or what?
Good question, Zach. So I find my biggest struggle right now is actually being in some way disconnected from the struggles I used to have. If you look at some photos back of, you know, even 4 years ago, I did not look the same. I was like not in a healthy state at all. And so like then I was, it was easy to be like, oh, like these kinds of questions like bloating and, yeah. you know, how do you clear skin and that kind of stuff. And so now it's really through my client work. I actually, you know, take notes during my clients, but then also say, oh, that's a really good common question that I get. Things like supplementing with iron, or what's a fix if you're constipated, or why I'm spotting between periods. So all that content comes from those calls. Yeah.
That's super interesting. It's crazy to see is, your marketing is a on top of its game because you're providing value. And I think at the end of the day, that's what people want, right? And sometimes I'm sure as a startup, you're like, I'm providing so much value. When is it going to be reciprocated?
Right? Yep, it's part of the journey for sure. I was actually just listening to an podcast episode of this guy just talked about there's no shortcuts to success, you know? And, you know, I've had people be like, oh, like you're providing value. Like, aren't you scared that people aren't going to like buy from you? I'm like, no, because it's from listening to my content that people have bought from me. And yeah, there's always different ways that I think I can monetize differently as well and better. But I just have to, yeah, I think it's a big part of it is there's no shortcut to that success in that way.
Do you have clients only in Calgary, or are they all over?
They're all over. I have
So
clients in the
cool.
UK. I want to say all over. I haven't worked with anyone one-on-one on, like, say, Australia, for example. But US, Calgary, UK so far, English-speaking countries. Yeah.
How neat was it just to have those first clients from all over?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, it's always like, it's very affirming. It's like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, what I'm doing is working. Like, I've never been taught this is how you. I've obviously taken a health coaching certification way back before my nutrition diploma even. But like, I never was taught this is how you help people. It was just, and so it's just nice to know. And when I get those referrals, I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right here, and get these testimonials. It's so it's it was pretty incredible. And every time it's so I'm so grateful that someone invites me into their life,
Sure. In our season of here in Calgary, the dry weather is so common. What are certain things that individuals could do here in Alberta to help their skin through this dry climate?
Okay, first of all, if you don't have a humidifier, honestly, I can't sleep without one. In the starting fall, I notice it right away. Plug in the humidifier. So that's a big one. Humidifier in even like a one in the office, because when we breathe, we need to be able to breathe properly in order to oxygenate. Oh my gosh,
Oxygen.
oxygenate. Thank you, the body, right? And so, making sure that we have we're able to breathe properly. You might even actually try nose strips at night. That is another option there. Also, hydration. It actually boggles my mind actually at how dehydrated the Canadians are. So even sipping on some hot water throughout the day is going to really start to add more moisture into the body. And then also for the skin topically, so there's a lot, honestly, I could talk about skin so much, but I recently started to use a Calgary-based skincare company, and it's beef tallow, actually. It's literally beef tallow with it.
Wow. And what's the
Yeah.
company called?
Fat skin, but without the A. And actually without any vowels, I'm pretty sure. I can link it. I can send it to you.
So,
It's
like,
honestly, it's
how do you
magical.
spell that?
So let me actually, I think it's fat skin. Okay, it's fat skin but without the I. And she's Calgary based, and that is the best moisturizer I've ever had, because if you look at moisturizer ingredients, there's a lot of unnecessary chemicals and fillers in them, versus this is just in one essential oil and whipped grass-fed tallow, and it makes my skin just feel so moisturized and nourished. Really great for dry skin.
That's crazy. Fat, like animal fat. So tallow, beef tallow. Wow.
Beef tallow, yep.
Who
And
thought that would be something? And you'd think that grease would bring out, or yeah, make you have acne, but I guess not, eh?
can we chat about that for a quick second?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're actually like, we often think that adding more oil to the skin is going to create acne. It is possible for males because testosterone makes the skin produce more oil. That's why women with PCOS, for example, will start to get cystic acne because of excess testosterone production. But when we actually, like, oil cleansing is just a term when you have some kind of like almond oil or jojoba oil, you actually cleanse your skin. It's far more cleansing and less irritating than any other cleanser you will get, like Neutrogena and all those brands. They can actually, it doesn't seem like they're irritating, but oil cleansing is not going to actually create acne unless you have dirt and like beneath it, beneath your skin. But acne is usually from the inside first. It's not as common as we've seen. This is always my message is inside first. We'll get acne. So along the forehead, for example, is digestion. If we're having trouble digesting, maybe it is a common allergen. I used to get acne so bad that people thought I was allergic to the sun, but I was actually allergic to the protein in wheat. And once I stopped doing that or significantly minimizing, I don't have acne anymore, even, on my menstrual time, commonly women get acne along the jawline. Acne along the jawline is hormonal. Okay. And then nose, or sorry, cheeks will be lungs. And so there's always a message from the body, and the aim is to educate people on body literacy in this way. So to come back to that point, excess oil on the skin is not going to cause excess acne unless, we're not washing our face, which you can do with oil cleansing. Again, I don't know if that made sense or not, but we're not.
100%. Oh my God. I actually had no idea this was digestion. This was.
Notice, this is hormones, and ch chin can also be hormonal. Notice next time, I know, was it 2020? I was like, I'm not going anywhere. And I just like, it was Christmas time. And so I just noticed I would start to get acne too. It's just so funny how, or maybe if you're like, I know for me, when I had COVID, I was craving comfort food, like nothing else, like food I don't ever eat.
Like
Like
what?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Like, I haven't
Oh my
had that
God.
kind of cereal since I was a kid. And I was like, I just want Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh my God, I'm craving it now. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Holy. Like there's some nostalgic things that like bring you back, don't they? Yeah.
Yes, it's so true.
Do you like Vietnamese soup?
I love it. I love pho. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, especially on days like today, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I used to be so picky that I remember when I was a kid, I don't know how my parents let me do this. They would go out to Vietnamese food. I would sit in the car and eat Subway, and then once I was done, I would go join them. Like, I don't know now that, like, I don't know how they let me do that, because it was before. It's like, okay, you don't eat this, you're not, it's just, I don't know if it's an immigrant family thing,
I
but it's
think
like,
so.
this is what we're eating tonight. If you don't like it, then make yourself something else, find something else.
If there's a company that's interested in having you come in, are you open to that right now? Or is it only online?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking.
How does someone get a hold of you?
The best way is through my email at hello@celinebilgin.com, Instagram at underscore luscious living underscore. And I am working with a brand strategist to get my website up, because I had it and it was just not a reflection of, anyways, I'm getting, and it's under construction. So website, yeah.
That's the frustration coming out, right? It's like,
Yes.
I know sometimes I do that too. What do you hope for if this is a digital capsule of your business? Say 5 to 10 years from now. Let's say 5 years from now. And we press replay on this. Where's Celine gonna be? Where's her business gonna be? What does she hope for?
My goal, the vision, the mission with Luscious Living is that it is a global education company for, whether it's individuals or businesses or schools, to really help educate and inform people about the power of holistic health. So, how do you holistically deal with, say, fibroids or fertility or postpartum or heartburn, or versus how do you create a company that really embodies wellness and wellness for its people? So it's really different. There's so many different avenues and tools that I am developing, and eventually have a team to run that with. But programs, tools, education to make the world a better place through holistic health.
Who inspires you?
Honestly, the 80-year-old version of me.
Ooh, I like that.
I look and I'm like, who? Because honestly, there's so many times where I'm like, okay, I could just, like, get a job and just, like, just do something that I don't really care that much about and do this, and but I'm like, no, this, I look at myself when I'm 80 and like, she's crushing it still in business. She's still crushing it in fitness. She has a ton of grandkids.
Oh.
And like, I want to, okay, this doesn't sound funny, but I want to be a hot grandma. Like, I literally, I'm like, I want to I want to show women
the
that you can
possibility. Yeah.
Totally.
Hope.
And be like this radiant 80-year-old woman or man, right? But just, I really.
You want to be, you don't want to be a man. You want to be a woman.
No. Yeah. Or just like show, I guess, people that you can be the healthiest version of yourself and not have to decline in cognition and sexual health and all of that because you're a certain age. And so that version of me inspires me. And honestly, everyday people who have just decided to make their life better. I just read Khalil Rafati's book. He's the owner of Sun Life Organics. He used to be, by 33 years old, he was homeless, a heroin, crack, and cocaine addict. And now he's in his 50s and he owns all these organic health shops. And someone like that, I just finished reading his book. I'm like, man, it's so incredible. Like people like that who have turned their life around inspire me every day. And I try to read books and biographies of people who have done that frequently, actually. So he's someone who's recently inspired me.
Sun Life Organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have to have a look. Wow. You know, it's hope, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he talks about in the book where he ended up meeting later on the cop who was now a detective that had arrested him. It's like 16 years ago or something. And then they met and he said the detective was just crying. He's like, I never get to see this, you know? And so, I'm like, so cool.
You know what? It's inspiration that I think people need to see. And I'm happy he wrote that book and passed that torch on for hope, right? For so many others that, you know what? You could be in a really crappy situation, but life is beautiful if you want it to be. There's choices.
Have you ever seen the movie Life is Beautiful?
I haven't.
It's impactful. It's actually the main actor is also the director and the producer. I want to say I might butcher that, but he's involved on the front end and back end, and he's it takes place. I think he's an Italian actor and he talks about, it's actually him and his son's journey before concentration camps. Okay. So, and then during, and he makes the choice in every moment. Life is beautiful in that way. And obviously that's a topic that I'm very, very not the one to speak about. But it just, that movie also impacted me because yeah, like we said, life is beautiful and that movie exemplifies that. And it's a big reminder because I think coming back to comfort in Calgary, we have it so good, so many of us, and it's easy to forget that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so true that daily reminder of practicing gratitude can sometimes be forgotten or become a shadow, right? And we say it, but are we actioning it?
Yeah, and it's so true because, you know, sometimes gratitude can feel like a chore in some ways. You're like, yeah, but this isn't working out, or like this isn't, you know, excuse me. And I was just, you know, walking home from the gym earlier and I'm like, oh man, like just walking, the opportunity to just walk here and just live in this city. And it's just, yeah, I sometimes forget, but when I am, I'm moved. Like, wow, we live in Calgary, Canada.
Yeah. You know, you see people in the wheelchairs or you'll see people blind.
Yes.
And they're so happy. And I'm thinking, here I am with 2 feet. I can see, I can feel. Yeah, that matters. You know, others, I can think, thankfully, some days.
Most days, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I've had failures in business up and down. And you try something, projects work, some don't. And you pick yourself up and go again. But I think you can't lose that fire.
100%. And it's funny because I've been thinking about that myself lately. Right? Is like, what is that main motivator? Is it money? Is it impact? Is it like, what is it? Because that has to be so clearly defined, because that fire in the belly is what makes us scrappy and, you know, connect and go the extra mile. And so it's funny because I've been really diving into that myself, that whole conversation.
No, they say money's not important, but I think it's obviously vital. And if you want to be like everybody else, not judging, just again, you're looking at yourself. If you want to be like everybody else, you're not gonna push as hard. And if you're only chasing it for money, if we flip it around, if you're only chasing it for money, when the difficult times come, you will run because you'll say, "Well, why am I doing this? I'm not even making money. All right, I'm out of here. Next project." So you
Yes.
gotta grind through it. You gotta like that's where that grind comes in, and that's where passion comes in. Curiosity, passion, second wind, third wind, whatever you want to call it, right? To overcome, yeah, those
And
things.
that vision, I think, what you're saying is so true, I do believe that vision for ourselves, that vision for, is so important. Because if I just truly believe, and this is what I also do in my practice, it's like, what is the vision that you have for yourself? Because if it's not something great or something that's expansive and a little uncomfortable, then why change? Right? Like, why? And so that, I think, honestly, when I get stuck or unmotivated, whatever it is, I will always come back to, who am I becoming? Who is the version of myself I'm becoming? And I will literally have to write it. I've done this so many times, but I write it out again and again. Like, that's right. And then that, I'm like, yes, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm here for.
So if you ask yourself, who am I? Like say present day, who am I? What kind of questions would you ask yourself? Because I mean, I've had that question asked to me. Zach, who are you? I have no idea. And that's not good, right? Because I'm constantly evolving, but I should know at the core of who I am. And I kind of have a gist. I'm not so focused on who I am. I'm more focused on who I want to become. There's so much to learn, isn't there?
Oh God, every time I learn more, I'm like, I know nothing.
With you. And the thing is this is there's so much information out there. I think simplicity is key, isn't it? To
It is.
find ways to simplify life.
I read Essentialism at the start of this year,
Ooh, how is that,
and
by the way?
it to me, it was exactly what I needed to read. Because I have been totally guilty of, like, oh, this is exciting and that's exciting, and then spread myself too thin and then be like, what was I thinking? At the start of this year, I was helping put on a conference. I was in sales and I was taking on a second account, running my practice. I had signed up for a 50K. Did I say the conference one? And then I was doing jiu-jitsu. So it was the five things. And I'm like, I was like, okay, I don't feel okay. Like, I need to cut. And thank God I did, because it helps me excel in that, those things that I do focus. But so I just can relate. And I also want to say thank you for having the courage to even ask yourself, who am I? Because I noticed that it can be scary, and it's something that takes time. You need to take that special time to reflect and ask yourself. And I think there can be some fear, and when, and like, who am I? What am I here for? Who am I with, if I don't count my possessions? And I think those are some really powerful questions.
I love when I can think about things where it's like remove yourself from things and put yourself in a new country for a second. They don't care what you got. Who are you? You know, how do you carry yourself? How do you treat people? Right? That's what
I remember
matters.
during COVID, I would go down to the river. This is during lockdowns. And I'd be like, who am I? And what do I want my life to be about? Like, I know, because like, travel has always been a big thing for me and so many people. I'm like, if I can't go anywhere, like, I can't even go to an event or the gym or something, I'm like, what is my life about? What do I stand for? What do I believe in?
Right.
And yeah, I think that was actually a lot of people, that whole 2020, I think was really impactful for a lot of people to go a little more inward. It's like we went inward into our houses, but inwards into our
our souls.
As well. Yeah, exactly.
The way I looked at 2020 was, or this pandemic, you could have ran away from it all. And yeah, it did suck, but you could complain. You could be bitter. You could be angry and spread those messages out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, yeah, this is really crappy. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
I can't change this.
Yeah.
I can spew anger out there, or I can chase peace and fix the things that right now, it does suck, but I'm privileged enough to have a roof over my head, food in my belly, and I can read a book. I can learn from people and hopefully bring some peace to my life, you know?
Yes.
So people came out of the pandemic saying, okay, nothing happened. We're back to normal. Life's good. Go party, this and that. Or you can come out and say, holy smokes, you know, I'm now wiser than I once was, or I don't know, whatever word you want to call it, but you feel like, you know, there's purpose to your life, there's meaning to your life, and maybe that's maturity, maybe that's other things. I know guys mature later in life, so I've been in my 3 years of that.
Is there anything that you feel like you are wiser for after the pandemic?
Peace over everything. Inner peace. I was a go guy. I was running. I don't know where I was running to. Like, literally, it'd be like 4 o'clock and now texting people, hey, you want to grab a drink? Want to go out, do this? And it was just social, social, social. And I don't know. You realize what was the point of it all? Well, it's good. I think social is important. Being social is great. But
the intention behind it sometimes, right? We're like, oh, I don't want to be with myself right now, or I don't want to, like, I don't want to be bored, or.
Exactly. And I couldn't sit with myself. So.
Yeah.
November 25th, 2020, I stopped drinking. So this year will be 2 years.
Wow.
And I said, cold turkeyed it, never went back. And I don't know how that's happened.
Good on you, Zach.
Thank you. Yeah. And just a few months before the pandemic, my mom had passed away. So that kind of messed with me a bit, right? So then the pandemic happens, and obviously I live alone with my dog, but there's a lot of loneliness, right? And then you're trying to process grief, but you're also trying to process pandemic. Is the world coming to an end here? Like, you know,
I would have thought that. I would have been like, Kate, world is just, yeah.
And then the alcohol consumption was just rising for me. It was just like, to the point where I said, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. So I found peace.
Wow. That, my heart goes out to you. Grief is such an interesting, I don't even know what to say about it. I just, and right before the pandemic, Zach, that's, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. Thanks for being real. And just thanks for, I think that alone is so inspiring for so many people to be like, okay, alcohol also on top of that. And then.
Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, it's funny, January 2021, I started the podcast. So it's coming up to being 2 years. But it was something for me to do because, it was a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at the bars anymore. I wasn't at the pubs anymore. So I said, you know, I need to do something with my life. And that's kind of how this started. Yeah. And I want to talk about, like, the journey of ups, downs, left, rights. And, you know, we all can get by. There's possibility here. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's I just want to make a note about the friends and how I remember, so my dad passed away 10 years ago now, and everyone that I thought was my friend was, like, nowhere to be found. And there were some, I swear, like, angels that, like, that weren't necessarily my close friends at the time, but they just, people that just stepped in. And very few, like, I'm thinking actually one specific person in mind when I say that. I remember it was shocking. I was like, I thought we're, you know, like, it was just like the most important, impactful time, horrifying time of my life. And I'm like, I have one person that wasn't even a part of my friend group that actually stepped in. And I think part of it, people don't know how to respond. A lot of it, people don't know what it's like. And so they don't really know, like, what to do either. Maybe there's discomfort there, dealing with grief and death and all these things that the society doesn't like to talk about. For some reason, some of my favorite subjects. But it's I just I know and what you mean by that.
I said, Zach, you're so you're always talking so deep. And but I think it's because you had to go deep to find yourself. You had to face darkness to find light. And I have a hard time sometimes dealing with just surface level talk. Like, I can do it, of course, but it's not like my favorite topic, you know?
How did you go to the pod? Like, what'd you talk about during the pubs and stuff? Because I feel like for someone who is so deep, then it's like it'd be so difficult. I'm sure it's difficult, more difficult now to just like.
Oh, back then, I think I was just so goofy and silly, and I'm still a silly guy and a funny guy, but I think there's, I don't know, priorities changed, you know? And again, like the podcast, I'm trying to grow it and see wherever it goes. But it's just so cool to realize we as human beings all have different paths, but we all come together, you know, and we all rise.
Yes.
Even through darkness, we can rise, and there's hope.
Always.
And look, you're providing that for people. You know, they say the gut is the second brain or the first brain, depends how you look at it.
It's true. I could nerd out about that as well. And it's so true, though. It is. You know, I feel like we haven't really been taught to listen to those and encourage those gut feelings in that way. You know, I have a read on people's energies so clearly that I, for so long, I doubted that. And I'm like, whatever, whatever. And, you know, growing up, the highlight was math and science and energy and being great with people and making people feel comfortable, leading them through change. That's like, that was not talked about. That was not taught in school. That was, you know, and so I appreciate that, because I also like can talk to people about pretty much anything, but what truly makes me happy is those deeper conversations that are meaningful, and that like really you're like, oh, I feel a little like vulnerable sharing this, but like this is where the juice of it is, you know?
I think that's where it's like, do you be authentic or do you just put the front, right? And I think as sooner or later, you know, you realize people, I mean, you can see it too. You're on social media. You can see when people are being their true self, or are they portraying an image. And of course we all do. Like, we all have to. Like, we have our at home face on the couch. We have.
Yeah, I'm not going to share when I like have a meltdown on social media.
That's no, no. How do you find strength? Because oftentimes being a leader or being someone that people are looking up to, you can't sometimes, or you should and shouldn't, share your downtimes.
What a good question. I was just having a conversation with my friend about this. Because she's really incredible at social media, and I was asking her, like, you know, please, like, provide your feedback, honest feedback. What can I do better? She's like, I want to hear more from you, like more of that authentic journey. And I was like, yeah, but I truly struggle with, like, I don't want to share. So, you know, something that I'm currently going through. And so, and like, cause it's like, I want to lead people, lead. And so we're having this discussion. I don't have a clear answer on that right now. So I'm navigating that, but I think I share what I have overcome personally. Or like coming from a place of here's what I'm doing about it, coming from a solution mindset, like rather than like, I don't know what to do with this. Or like, I do experience that, but not the world doesn't have to hear about that. It's more like, hey, here's the problem that I'm facing. Here's what I'm doing about it. So leading by example is, I think, my regular jam anyway.
I love it. I love it. We should do another one of these soon, and we should find some like topics and dive deep into them.
Let's do all the taboo subjects. Actually, maybe we can talk about grief at some point too, and just like, because that's a whole other conversation that I think can be very empowering and really resonate with a lot of people.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you dealt with something, I've dealt with something. Well, thank you again for today.
Thank you so much. That was so great chatting with you. I felt like I was talking to an old friend.